Going to recap on faith, and just before I do, I was just thinking as I was praying before I came, it's Faith of Our Fathers. How many knows that song? Faith of Our Fathers Living Still. And I was thinking about that, that their faith is the same faith that we have in us, because God has given us that measure of faith, right? And their faith is still living. So imagine our faith can just go on living and living and living and accomplishing things, right? And so maybe some of you weren't here the last time I spoke a bit on faith, and I talked about how that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and that when you hear the Word, it comes. And it's like I said last time, it's like a helicopter. As soon as you believe, it drops into your spirit and it becomes real, right? And then I was thinking about that really faith is a choice. How many know that when you believe, you believe something, you make a choice to believe? We make a choice to believe that this is God's holy word. We make a choice to believe that it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? We make a choice to believe that. When we believe that, it comes into our heart and it becomes real. And it becomes living, living faith. And so that's what we need, is to walk in that living faith. And so faith is in the heart. How many got saved by faith in the heart and then telling someone that you received Christ? So that's how faith operates. It's so simple. We don't have to make it complicated. It's believing something in your heart and saying it with your mouth. That's what faith really is, the basics of it, right? And one little nugget I heard that really helped me was, you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head. How many knew that? Because when you're believing God, guess what? Your head's going to fight you. Your thoughts are going to fight you. But if you know that you know, that you know that what God's word said is true, then that faith rises up and carries you, right? So it's not here. It's here on the inside of you. So our faith needs to grow. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, I'm not going to bring up all these scriptures. So if you want to mark them down, and go over them after, and just study it yourself and see, and bring that word alive for you. So our faith needs to grow. In 1 Thessalonians, it says that their faith grew exceedingly. So if we have that wonderful faith God's given us and we leave it lying dormant, guess what's going to happen? It's going to die. It's just like if you have your arm or something, say you go through surgery or something, and you don't move that arm for a while, guess what? You're going to get like frozen shoulder or something, right? I'm sure some people have experienced that. It's terrible. Whatever. So if you don't use it, it's not going to work. And so that faith that God gave us, if we don't use it, it's not going to increase. And so the other day I was talking to Jock, and I said, what are you using your faith for right now? You know, like, what are you believing God for? And then we thought about it. What are we believing God for? You know, like if we say, I believe God, but we never put our faith into action to believe for something specific, it's just lying dormant. So we said, what are we believing God for? So we believed God here for Sunday school kids. How many know he answered? But if you don't release your faith for something, then you'll never know if your faith worked, right? So you have to pick something that you're going to release your faith on. And so today, we want to have an opportunity at the end of the service for each one of us to release our faith, okay? Because the book of James says that faith without works is what? Dead, okay. And in Hebrews, it says that they slew giants, they received their dead raised, people were martyred, and they obtained the promises by doing something. We can't have faith and not do something. Faith is an action word, okay? So, how many last week got tickets when Pastor Travis was preaching about the promises? How many did them? 1, 2, that's pretty good. But you know, if we get those tickets and we don't do it, guess what? We're not acting on our faith. If we don't get that word inside of us and then start acting, then we're not doing it. We're just faith in our heads, right? And so we want to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So I thought I'd just bring that up, Travis, with your tickets. But today I want to give you an opportunity to build your faith in the blood of Jesus. We have faith in this word. We have faith in the name of Jesus. We know it's the name above all names, that at that name every knee shall bow. The demons have to bow to the name of Jesus. We know that. We have faith in that, right? But today I just want to go over scriptures on the blood because we want to have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so like I say, I want to not take too much time, so therefore just write the scriptures down and then you go home and you look them up yourself. But the first one, we will put up some, is Hebrews 9:22. Think my little fellas over there, Jonah. Hebrews 9:22. It's not working? Okay. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So I know my brother, he got saved, and he said, after about 2 weeks, he said to me, why is this scripture so full of blood and bloody, like a bloody stuff? And I said, well, because the wages of sin is death, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And that's all through the Bible. And so the very first shedding of blood was when Adam and Eve fell, and God slew an animal and made them clothing, right? So he covered them. And then there's a few more. There's a lot probably, but I'm just going to cover a few. And then there was God made a covenant with Abraham when he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and he had killed a big animal, and they cut it in half, and God himself walked through and cut that covenant with Abraham. And while he was going through there, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and God spoke to him and showed him that the children of Israel would be in bondage for 400 years and that then he would take them out. So even when he cut that covenant with him, he began to speak to Abraham and tell him his plans and what he was going to do, because covenant relationship is very personal. And we have a covenant relationship with God. And there's life in the blood. How many know that? You've heard that. There's life in the blood. And probably that's why God said, you know, don't eat anything with the blood in it, right? There's life in that blood. And when Cain killed Abel, it was Cain killed Abel, right? I get them mixed up sometimes. Cain killed Abel. His blood was speaking, even after he died, it was speaking to God and saying, you know, vengeance. And, you know, his blood was speaking to God. And then it talks in Revelations about all the martyrs who had died. They're under the altar and their blood is speaking. It's crying out to God. And then Jesus' blood, his blood cried mercy. His blood was so, his heart, the love in the heart of God, cries mercy, mercy, mercy. It's so amazing. And he called mercy and forgiveness. And maybe you remember where Pilate, he washed his hands. He said, this man is an innocent man. He said, I'm not going to take responsibility for this. But the Jews, they said, you know, I thought it was so terrible when I heard that on the video, and it said, let your blood be upon us and upon our children. What a horrible thing to say, right? But you know what? Jesus was on the cross, and he said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. There's that forgiveness and mercy in his blood. So, and just going back to the blood, even in the natural, the blood, my niece told me one time that when she was taking her nursing course, that the blood does speak. They told her that the blood cries out. And that when you hurt yourself or you break an arm or something, the blood all rushes to that spot to bring healing. Or if you're cut, it rushes there and coagulates and it calls to all the blood cells in your body and says, come, there's a trauma, come. And it starts. So even in the natural, it shows that the blood speaks. Or even another example is if the blood doesn't get to your brain, that's like in a stroke, you know, and the blood's clogged somewhere, that area of your body dies. So without that spiritual blood in our life, that area of our life dies. It's so we want to make sure we're washed in the blood. So we're going to just do some confessing, and the scriptures are, because we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, that's how we have faith. So you can write down these scriptures. Romans 5:9 talks about being justified through the blood. It means just as if you never sinned. Justified. And you, okay. So we're going to say today, I am justified through his blood. I am redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, right? I am redeemed, bought back. Okay, we are cleansed through the blood of the Lamb. 1 John 1:7. We are cleansed through the blood. And you know when we, in 1 John it says that we are made pure. Do you know we can walk pure all the time? Every single day of our life? Because he said as soon as you do something wrong and you come and you confess it, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. You can walk cleansed every day of your life in that holy relationship with God. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to be in sin. We can walk free because we just come, we confess, and we say, God, help me, and he cleanses us. It's amazing, the power of the blood. Okay, and so, where are we? We come near. So I come near to the Lord through the blood. I come near to the Lord through the blood. I have peace with God through the blood. That's Colossians 1:20. And we have victory in all conflicts through the blood. We have. Okay, that's Revelations 12:11, because it says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We've just testified this morning that we are redeemed, that we're brought near to God, we're sanctified, set apart. So if you get up every day and you say that, guess what? You're applying that blood to your life. You're applying it. So, okay, so I just want to go into the story. I think most of you know the story of Exodus, where Moses brought the people out. And if you didn't read it in the Bible, read it. It's exciting. But if not, I'm sure you've seen the Ten Commandments, so you have a bit of an idea. So when Moses was sent there, there was all the different plagues. But what was the last plague? Can anybody tell me? The firstborn were going to be slain. Okay. So just want to just kind of remember the story. I don't have it written down there, so I'm just going to. Moses went in and he said, let my people go. Okay? And so he wasn't going to let them go. So then he told Moses to do what? To take all those people. Do you know there was about, and that they had to go and kill a lamb. A nice little lamb. It had to be a year old, not quite a year old, without spot, without blemish, a perfect lamb. And then they put that blood in a basin. He told them exactly what to do. And then they would take it with the hyssop and put it around the door. I'm sure, how many know that? Everybody knows that. Okay. As I was studying this, what really became real to me was that this blood was put over there. And I was thinking about it. There was about approximately 250,000 lambs roasted. They couldn't eat it raw. They could not eat it boiled. They had to roast it. Can you imagine that many lambs or goats or whatever that were roasted that day? And I was thinking the Egyptians must have been thinking, what is wrong with these people? They're doing this like, you know what I mean? Like that's a big thing that's happening. But anyway, they went ahead and they obeyed God and they did what he said. And they had the blood in the basin. But what if they would have had that blood in the basin and they never would have applied it around the door? They wouldn't have completed all that God had said, right? And another thing I found as I studied was, as they did this and they were ready, the father took the firstborn son and he said to him, he took him aside and he said, you know, tonight what's happening is that blood is over the door to protect us. And he said, all the firstborn in the land are going to die of animals and sons. But he said, you are the firstborn. And he said, that little lamb was killed so that you would not be slain. Isn't that amazing? So they taught their children even then that this lamb was slain so that you would not be. And I just thought it was amazing. So just how the Bible, everything you read, it coincides. And so then they went. And the amazing thing that happened is when God said to them, put on your belts or loin your girds about, put on your shoes. They were acting. Can you imagine as slaves, they must have been beaten down. And if you watch any movies about slaves, they were beaten down, they were weak, their bones were broken. I mean, they were working hard. And they had worked even harder because Moses, they were mad at Moses because now they had to do bricks without the straw. So they must have been, a lot of them, in bad shape. But God said, put on your belt, take your thing, get ready. Faith is action, is ready. So they were ready. And when they took that drink, they ate the lamb, rather, and they walked out, there was not one feeble person among them. God miraculously healed all those people in one time. So that's the power in the blood. And then just quickly, the story of Rahab. Anybody know the story of Rahab? I was reading that and I was just thinking, I'm just going to go through it fast because of time, that the spies were sent out into that city and she lived on the wall. And so they said, they went by and she took the men and protected them, right? And because she believed something, she believed that God was with the Israelites. God was protecting them and God was great. So she believed that. So guess what? Her faith said, I'm going to believe their God and I'm going to protect these guys. And so she did. And so when then they said to her, she said, what are you going to do because I'm helping you? They said, when we come in to attack the city, throw out a scarlet line, which represents the blood of Jesus. And it was out there. And when we come, we are going to take you out first and protect you. And that's what they did. But the amazing thing that I found about reading that was they said, bring all your family and all your loved ones in there. They hadn't done anything, but they were covered by the blood. Isn't that something? He said, you and your house shall serve the Lord. You and your house. And even going back to the other story, they said in the Exodus, he said to one lamb for each family. When that family walked out healed, guess what? They had a lamb within them, the blood of the lamb in them for their whole family. So today, if you have family members that are not saved, know that these two things says you and your house shall be saved. Receive that. Obtain it. Okay? So then after Moses did this, I told you I had too much. Then as Moses went on, they built, of course, the tabernacle in the wilderness. And it went on, and he set up the Aaronic priesthood. And we all know that if you read Exodus. And the priests, and every year the Jews had to go into Jerusalem, or go to the tabernacle or the temple, and they had to offer sacrifices for their sins. They had to go back every year to offer sacrifices. And the blood of those animals covered their sin for 1 year, and then they had to go back again. But us, when Jesus came, his blood covers us forever, right? And John the Baptist came and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Not just the sins of the firstborn, but the sins of the whole world. And so, just got a few scriptures to go through. So today as we celebrate communion, I want us to remember what Jesus did. So we're going to read Matthew 26. I think it's up there, Jonah. Matthew 26, 26 to 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So that is the word of God. Okay, and then we got 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed or bought back with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So see, the whole Bible talk was talking about him coming and what he was going to do. And Hebrews 9, 23 to 24. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. So you see, Moses had built all that, you know, according to the plans God had given him. But now, Jesus, when he died, he brought his blood and he put it on the true mercy seat, the real mercy seat, not made by hands, in the heavens. So that's how much more powerful it is. It was put on the mercy seat in heaven, because whatever was done here on earth was just a shadow of what was really happening. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand that? It was a real heavenly place. Hebrews 4:14. Hebrews 4:14 to 16. That's it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. So we don't have the priests in the natural now. We have the great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our what? Confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points as we are and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay. And one more, Hebrews 10:19 to 23. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness, and that word boldness means humbly trusting, loving God, having boldness to enter, and confidence, because you know what he did for you, confidence to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. So he died so that his flesh was broken so we could walk into the Holy of Holies. His blood was shed. Do you know, if he would have died on the cross and never went up and put his blood on the mercy seat, we'd still be in our sin. But he took that precious blood and he went up and he put it before God, and God said, I receive it. I receive it for you, for Jane, for Janine. I receive it for every one of you. I receive it. And the blood cried, mercy, mercy for you, mercy. And so when we take communion this morning, we are going to take it by faith. And we are going to take it by faith. And why we have that curtain over there is so that we're not going back to the Old Testament, no fear. But it's just there as a point of releasing our faith. So as you walk through that curtain, it's like you're walking into the Holy of Holies in heaven. I want you to just picture yourself going in there. And it says to go in and obtain the mercy. That means get it. So if you have anything in your life that you need, if you've sinned, then say, God, forgive me. And I'm coming in to get mercy to help me never to do it again. Right? Say, God, forgive me. I need your mercy. I need your blood sprinkled over me. That's what I need. Or if you have addictions, you walk in there and say, God, this addiction, I need your blood to wash over me so this thing will be broken. If you need finances, if you need your children saved, whatever your need is, his mercy is there for us. That's what it's all about. That's why he says, when you take communion, come. I'm your mercy. I'm your grace. I'm your help in time of need. So we don't just take it and not think about it. We use our faith and we go in there and we receive from God what he has already purchased for us. Otherwise, it's just sitting there. So we want to go in and receive today. Okay? Does everybody understand? And so what we'll do is we're going to start with people over there. And you just go through. You're going to take your emblems. And you're going to just, for a minute, because there's so many of us, I'd like to stay in there, but you can only go in for a little bit and just say, Lord, I'm here to receive this. from you, whatever it is, just think about it. Ask God, what do I want to release my faith on today? And then you can come out and you can just be alone. You can kneel if you want. You can sit at the chair. You can do, and the worship team will come back at that time and just lead us in some worship before God. And just before, so is that clear? Everybody understands what we're doing here? And Don has a song he's going to sing for us first. And then after he's finished, the worship team's going to come. And so after Don's song, maybe Travis, if you want to come up and just kind of lead, and then the worship team will. So how many are going to receive something from God today? Amen. You're going to go to the mercy seat, and you're going to receive. Say, I'm going to receive today. Amen. You're going on.
Amen. Amen. Wow. So Abel's blood cried out judgment against Cain. Amen. But Jesus' blood cries mercy. Isn't that awesome? We're going to have the worship team come if you guys want to come back up here. That was awesome, Don. Thank you. And I just want to say, too, many times when we do communion, you know, we pass out the cups and the bread, and we do it this way. And sometimes it came from a church where they get together and they put on a potluck meal and they do communion as they sit together, because Jesus didn't give us a pattern of how to do it. He just said, whenever you break bread, do it in remembrance of me. Whenever you drink the wine, do it in remembrance of me. So it didn't have to be done. And you go to an Anglican church and you come up at the front, or if you go to different types of, there's different ways of doing it, right? But what we're doing this morning is just, this is kind of just symbolic, so we'll remember. When we go behind, you're just going to go behind the curtain, grab your juice and your bread, and then come back. And what that symbolizes is, in a sense, in the Old Testament, only the priest could go in once a year. The high priest would go behind the veil where the presence of God was. But in the New Testament, we don't need a priest to go behind the veil because we have access through the blood of Jesus. So it's just so that we remind you. Now, in the Old Testament, what they would do is they would tie a rope to the priest, and so if he died, they would drag him out. Okay? So I contemplated, we don't want you going back there and having a revival meeting by yourself, okay? Because I'll have a rope, and we'll tie you, and we'll pull you out of there. That's not the purpose of this, and it's going to be tempting for some of you, but the only purpose of going back in there is just to go behind there, grab your cup and your bread, and say, thank you, Jesus, get about 10 seconds and come out, because we've got a lot of people to go through here, okay? And then come and have your time alone with God as we worship and believe God. So what you're doing is you're walking behind that curtain, you're saying, thank you, God, I have access to this covenant relationship with you. Grab your stuff and come out. And how many can do that? Amen? And then you come and have your time with God here, not there, okay? Because we could have a revival back there, and the rest of us would be waiting, so we're not going to do that. So as you worship, just feel free to go and grab that stuff. Lord, we thank you, Father, that what you did on the cross for us, and you said, whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me. We remember that your body, which is that veil, was torn so we could enter into you. And your blood, it represents the new covenant that we have, Lord. So, Father, we're going to do this. We're going to do it in remembrance of you. And I thank you that this is really a miracle meal, because if we realize that when we drink the blood and eat the flesh, we're partaking of that covenant. Divine healing is ours. Spiritual prosperity is ours. Freedom from addiction is ours. And it's powerful. Amen? You know, I just want to say something before we move into there is, I have a pastor friend, and he's, some of you know Earl Inman. You've met him before. He's been here. And he called me up because I got this new sermon series. He goes, it's called The Miracle Meal. I said, come on, what are you doing? He said, I'm teaching about the miracle meal. And so he told me about communion. He's had a lot of people that have been coming to him with sickness in their body. And he said, they've gone for prayer lines. He gave me a story of someone with cancer and someone who was schizophrenic and like major illnesses. And he said, they've gone for prayer. And I've prayed for them for months, and they've gone for prayer everywhere. And he said, the Lord said, start teaching on communion, the power of communion. I said, now I teach people, get up. He said, this one lady said, get up with your husband every morning and have communion and thank God for the covenant and that he's your healer. Do it in remembrance of him. And they did it. Over a period of 3 or 4 weeks of doing it, they're supernaturally healed. Amen? So there's power. We don't just do communion. We're not just remembering that he did. We're remembering the covenant that we have with God. Isn't that awesome? And so as you go back there, if there's anything you're believing God for, if there's sickness in your body, if your kids are away from God, if, you know, whatever it is, you're going back there and say, thank you, God, I can come behind the veil. It's symbolic of what's happening in the spirit. I'm coming behind the veil and I have access to your power, your divine power because of your word. And I just receive it. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not going to have a revival meeting back here. I got to leave now. And you're going to come out and you're going to sit down and you're going to worship Jesus. Amen? Amen. So let's worship. And we're going to start from over here? Okay. So why don't we start here? Because people have to walk further, and then that way you guys are, you know. Is that okay? All right, so you guys go ahead. And the rest of us, let's stand and let's worship the Lord. Don't worry about what's going on over here, and let's just worship Jesus together. Amen? And if you don't feel like doing this, don't feel pressured. You don't have to do it. It's just something we have, you know, if you're comfortable with it. Amen? So let's worship.
In that place once again. to the highest place, the King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at His saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. Yes, I'm full.
If you've grabbed your elements there, you guys can take them where you are at. Don't wait for us. Just make this a time of personal prayer between you and the Lord, and just take them at will, okay, as you're praying and seeking God, okay?
And when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more. King of endless worth. Yes, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song is
I see a new